Welcome to this our Sunday message, Sunday the 22nd of September 2024. Before we get into this message, let's just read from the Bible, the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We read, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light." Let's turn once again to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27, verse 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. "A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." The satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Heavenly Father, as we approach this word, we realize that the things of God cannot be communicated simply with the intellect. We need you, Holy Spirit, to birth this understanding in our hearts. And so we invite you to direct this teaching and to give us not only a spirit of understanding, but hearts that will pick up your heart beyond as far as we can communicate it by your Holy Spirit. We give you praise in the wonderful name of Yeshua. The title of this message is Living Intentionally. Living Intentionally. Now, what I mean by that is that you and I need to live our day-to-day existence with purpose. God never expected us to roam aimlessly upon this earth, not knowing who we are, where we are going, what the point of it all is. That was never his plan. And the other side of the coin is that we need to realize that God has placed every single one of us on this earth for a specific purpose. We've talked about this on many occasions. It's always intrigued me to think of how we humans seem to miss this fundamental question. Why very often we don't even ask it. For 20 years of my life, I was cut off from God because of ignorance and one thing and another. And in all that time, what gradually grew in my heart was the realization that somehow something was missing. I couldn't understand what it is that I was supposed to be doing and essentially why I was here on this earth. I was very blessed to have everything that one could want. Every opportunity was made available to me. But despite all of this, despite having a robust health, trying very hard to enjoy life, there was this thing missing, as I've mentioned before. There was a void that had to be filled. Now, we've got to grasp that you and I, as human beings, were created with an essential need for the living God. The question is, why is it that so many of us seem to miss this? One of the answers is contained in that scripture in Proverbs. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. On the face of it, here we have a person who is satisfied, has plenty of food, and doesn't really need anything more. God has every interest in you and I fulfilling our destiny. Our destiny, if fulfilled, will enhance his kingdom, which inevitably will assist in bringing this earth back to him. That's his mission. The enemy of our soul, as we've said before, has every intention of thwarting that purpose. And he has various techniques for achieving this purpose. The point I'm trying to make is that very often humanity neglects their need for God because of deliberate deception. The devil's approach is multifaceted. In a way, he's got plan A. If that fails, he's got plan B and plan C and plan D, whatever. But his primary plan with humanity, I've come to realize, is to make us ignorant, keep us in darkness, with regard to this great purpose from before time with which we were born and placed on the earth. Step one of his plan is to fill us with so much other stuff that we don't consider it. The satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. The human life that is filled with many things that entertain, that fascinate, that absorb, that keep busy, very often makes us, A, not even think that there could be something more, and B, not realize that what we are doing is essentially purposeless. That's step number one. In this regard, he was very successful with me for about the first 20 years of my life. But eventually, despite going through the routine of growing up, being a schoolboy, etc., etc., I began to realize that there was something missing. Now, most people, I believe, have this thought come to them. Perhaps there is something more. And the moment a thought like that comes our way, rest assured, the enemy of our soul is quick to try and put a stop to it. A person might be busy with his work and think to himself, perhaps driving home, is this all there is to life, just surviving? Very quickly, a thought comes, don't think about that. You're not supposed to think about that. Perhaps we get a thought of, maybe I should start something else, go into another field. Once again, the enemy of our soul jumps to attention and puts thoughts in your mind and my mind like, no, don't do that. It's too tricky. It's too dangerous. What will people think? What will everybody say? Don't be a fool. Can you see? And because of that, so many people, in a sense, the turtle puts its head out and then sees things could be tricky, retracts. So many live their lives barely surviving. God never created us just to live on this earth in survival mode. He wanted us to live intentionally. In other words, when we get up every morning, know that there's something out there that has to be done and that what we do will have consequences. Now, you see, it's not just a case of having consequences. We need to have consequences in life that are eternal. You and I were created not just to pass through this life and that's the end. We were created to leave something of value behind. Call it destiny if you want. But you realize that the devil's trick is to get us just to stay in a little hole. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to break out. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I have to change our daily activities every single second. Not at all. There's something deeper to this whole understanding. God created you and I with a space that, if it's not filled with Him, we will know deep down inside us an emptiness. Nature hates a vacuum. Wherever there is a vacuum created, nature will automatically fill it. That's how the whole climate system works. Hot air rises, creates a vacuum below it, brings in atmosphere from elsewhere. That atmosphere brings with it wind, rain, which waters the earth. The hungry earth cries out for water. There's a vacuum. It needs water. When the water comes, it drinks it in. You and I live in an environment which hates a vacuum. And what is true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. Now, you see, the enemy's trick is to make us unaware of that vacuum. As I've said, by filling us with other stuff, we start to ignore the emptiness inside of us. Society pressures us to stay where we are. But God wants us to live intentionally, not merely to survive. He wants us to know why we are here and what we are doing. and why what we are doing has significance. If you and I do not have any purpose for living, your and my life becomes very empty, very shallow, very boring, no matter how well stacked it is with the things that this earth has to offer. But going back to this vacuum, if you and I become aware that inside of us there is a vacuum, that vacuum has got to be filled. Now you see, if the enemy can keep you and I from being aware of this vacuum or responding to this vacuum, his next trick is to get you and I to fill that vacuum with the wrong thing. The other part of that proverb says, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Here is the danger. The idea is that somebody who is so hungry will eat anything. The most plain food will be delicious to him if he's hungry. You are my spirit man, when we are empty inside, the big danger is we try to fill it with the wrong thing. That's why so many people turn to the occult, turn to other religions, false religions, any system out there that might be able to fill the void. But there's only one person who can fill the void, and that is the Lord Yeshua. But having said that, I need to explain that there's more to this hunger business than you and I realize. God created us to function in a certain way. That function requires certain elements to be built into our life. Now, when we talk about hunger, there are certain hungers, if I can call them that, that God has created us with. And we need to understand those hungers and feed them with the right thing. We hunger for a sense of purpose. We hunger for a sense of destiny. Deep down in every soul, that hunger lingers. Now, that hunger can only be fed and met by the purpose that God has placed us on this earth for. No other purpose will satisfy that hunger. The danger is we fill that need for purpose with false things, like the need for success, the need to be acknowledged by other people, the need, can I call it this, for fame and fortune. That will not work. Any object that replaces this central part of us that must be filled with God will be frustrating and ultimately destructive. But we have other things that we hunger for. One of them is something that this world system is fighting at the moment very much against. Let's just turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. We read here that this is now the writer to the Hebrews explaining the new priesthood that was established through Christ. And in Hebrews 9, verse 1, he says, then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. It goes on to describe briefly what Moses set up in the wilderness. Now, why did God go through this trouble to establish a priesthood, ordinances, rituals, the tent of the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies? Why did he do that? Well, you see, he was meeting the Israelites' need for some system of order from which they could derive relevance. They needed, like all humans, a point of departure. They needed a paradigm within which to operate. God met that need for them in the wilderness. It was those divine ordinances, the law, the tabernacle, the priesthood, that set them apart as a nation. It was one thing for them to be delivered out of Egypt. It was another thing for them to be forged into a coherent nation. They had to move from being a haphazard band of slaves into a nation. Can you see that? God had to put into them a sense of divine order. That's the nature of God, you see. In the beginning, we read, God created. He created order out of chaos. That's how God operates. Without order, the world would have been void and empty, and man could not have survived. The whole plan of God could have not taken place. Fast forward to the new priesthood, you see. The old priesthood was done away with by the new priesthood, the new tabernacle, which is the body of Christ. God created order out of chaos. You and I, living in this earth, before we are saved, internally, whether we like it or not, there is chaos. And inside of us, there is this hunger for structure, for order. When there's order, you see, you and I can fit into that and be something. Without that paradigm around us, we can't understand our purpose. And you see, we bring with us into the Christian walk, in a sense, that sense of chaos. And the process of sanctification is a process of learning about the divine order which God wants to place in our lives. There's a hunger in you and I for law and order. The world system is trying to destroy that, replacing it with rebellion, with the mentality, nobody can tell me what to do. And you see, the problem with that is that nobody would also include Almighty God. When you and I try and live our lives without any reference to any order or any system, we become like a ship that has been loosed from its moorings and is able to be blown around by every wind of circumstance. Now, the devil understands this hunger inside of us, and he's got another plan up his sleeve, which he brings into operation, understanding this human need for order. And the name for his counterfeit to godly order is religion. I've often wondered why people would adhere to rituals that don't make sense. Man-made rituals. You think of Israel of old. They got so tied up with their rituals, they missed the living God when he walked into their midst. I understand what it is. I realize that that need in us for order makes us hunger for a system that is something we can see, touch, feel, and live by. And here's the danger. The new tabernacle, as it were, was never meant to be a system of rules. We humans either totally rebel against rules, or we fall into bondage with rules. Can you see? Trying to fill this void inside of us with relevance. What we have to grasp is that there are rules in the kingdom of heaven, but those rules are designed to set us free. This is so hard for the human mind to grasp. God, at the same time as wanting to put structure in our lives, wants us not to live for the structure, but to live in the light of it. The old rituals, the Lord, in coming to this earth, fulfilled them. He turned those rituals in his life and example into a living embodiment of the lifestyle God wanted us to have. There are rules. We hunger for order, but those rules were not designed to control. They were designed to give life. And if we do not approach them with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I can end up living lives of very unhappy bondage, all based on what we believe to be in the Bible. God wants us to be free. Let me give an example. When Christ was on this earth, the Pharisees, as we know, spent a lot of time trying to accuse him of something. Their favorite trick, of course, was watching him operate on the Sabbath. Now, the Jews had strict laws because Moses had said you don't do any work on the seventh day. It was an ordinance. And the religious system had taken that ordinance to a completely new level, to the extent that when they saw a man who had been crippled his whole life pick up his bed and walk, they weren't concerned about the fact that he had been set free from this terrible physical affliction. What was more important to them is that he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Now that law, when the Lord came onto the earth, he didn't abolish it. He fleshed it out, demonstrating to us that its purpose was to bring life. We've talked about this before, but you and I as humans are designed to function, but we must have rest. And God gave us a divine order for rest once a week, the Lord's Day. That was divine order. You and I can try and serve God even, and just serve him every single day of the week, and just go on and burn ourselves out, as many have done. What have we done? Ignored a divine ordinance. The other side of the coin is, on the Sabbath you don't do anything. Your neighbor's house is burning down next door, you don't bother to help him. Why? Oh, it's the Sabbath. Can you see? The Holy Spirit brings into this whole picture life. But we have to grasp that you and I are designed to have order. We can't function without it. Another way of putting it is submitting to divine authority. You and I weren't designed to be a law unto ourselves. We were designed to be part of the body of Christ. What does that mean? That means we fulfill a function within the body, that we can't be the entire body on our own. We might be the hand, but we need the arm. We might be the foot, but if we don't have attachment to the body, we have no purpose. Once again, we've got to understand God has placed divine order. And in your and my lives, there's a hunger for that divine order. The enemy's trick is to do what? Disrupt that order. And you see, once he manages to do that, our lives spin out of control. And although we might very well be going to heaven, we won't achieve the purposes of God while we go. You look at the family unit. God has created for the man to be the head of the home. That is divine order. Doesn't mean that he's got the right to treat his wife like a slave. Not at all. But when it comes to making the decisions in life, as a family, the man has the responsibility of making those decisions. The wife's duty is, yes, to give advice and input, but ultimately to submit to that. If a family is characterized by a two-headed monster, there will be disorder, there will be chaos, there will be frustration. Once again, highly contentious issue, but that is the divine order of God. And deep down, despite everything humanity is trying to be told by the opposition, people hunger for that. The hunger for divine order. People hunger to know where they stand, to know what is right and what is wrong, to have leadership, to be part of something that is going somewhere. There's that hunger in our souls because there's divine order. And when there is divine order, God can bless. And you see, all these things tie together if you and I want to live intentionally. If we neglect the divine order of God in our lives and around us, we live, yes. We will strive, yes. Even for God, yes. But it will be, in a sense, out of context. And ultimately, frustrating. My prayer for us as children of God is that we'll understand our need for the vacuum in our lives to be filled. But not that we will just fill it with anything that comes along, but we'll have the wisdom to fill the vacuums in our lives with what God has planned. And that's the prayer, so that you and I can function effectively and live every day of our lives with consequences that are positive, that we will be able to live intentionally. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.